We are told that we are not only to add to our faith virtue, we're to add to virtue knowledge. Well, let's look at a few portions there in 2 Peter chapter 1 that will help us to understand something in regard to knowledge, because Peter uses the word knowledge elsewhere in this passage, and we'll look at that. First of all, it says in the under the what I call the completed knowledge in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I'll just read verse 1 and 2 and then lead into verse 3 that you have reproduced up here. It says, "To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." I want to look at that verse 3, complete. He's talking about a knowledge here that is complete. A knowledge that we have when we place our faith in Jesus Christ and accept the promise that that Jesus Christ is indeed the answer to our needs. He is saying that is a knowledge that is complete. He has given us all things, note the key word all, that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. The word that is used in this context is a word that has a prefix that gives the concept of something that is complete. It's a knowledge that's complete. In other words, when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you do not have to do anything to add to that relationship in Christ. He has given you everything you need to have the proper relationship with Him in Christ. So it's not an element where you have to, okay, I've done step number one, place my faith into Him. Now I have to add certain things so that I can have a proper relationship with Him. No, our relationship with Him is complete in Jesus Christ. So we don't have to be adding anything so that we can have a relationship with Him. We don't have to add anything so we can have eternity. When the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life," that's exactly what it means. That it's through that faith in Jesus Christ is what gives us that full knowledge of relationship with God, so we spend all eternity with Him. But now we're going to look at a continuing knowledge. A different word is used in verse 5 when he says, "Now add." Key word in this one, verse 5, says add. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge." Now, it's along these lines. Now, it's in that we have a relationship with God. In that, we have this fullness of knowledge and everything that we need for godliness, all in that package deal of placing our faith in Christ. He says, in light of that, add to this faith virtue, which we talked about last week, that leaning towards God, leaning towards holiness, desiring to do things that please God, and leaning away from the world, and adding to that knowledge. It's not just so much to have a desire to do something right. Ability helps, but let's just say I had the ability of some of the individuals on that wet football field yesterday. Let's just suppose I was able to fit into the uniform that one of the quarterbacks was wearing. I know I wouldn't for the one from Iowa. I think he's about like 6'5 or something. But at any rate, let's just suppose I was able to get on there and get behind the snap of the center and get ready to play that game. I could have all the desire to go the right direction that I wanted. But there would be individuals that would make that hard for me. And there would be things that would make it difficult for me if I didn't know what to do. And so it's not so much of having a great desire and intentions of doing right. We need to be equipping ourselves so we'll have that which will allow us to do right. None of the individuals on the field yesterday would get a bunch of attaboys just because they had a good heart. It was based upon whether they were doing with what they were given. When they came back into the huddle and the individual messed up a play because he wasn't listening or hadn't studied the playbook right or whatever, it doesn't matter how hard they ran. It mattered was they did the right thing. And with a lack of knowledge and a lack of of emphasis on that, you could find yourself sitting on the bench and not being involved. And that's why we as Christians need to be learning, because, yes, God wants us to have a good heart. He wants us to do what is right. He wants us to lean toward Him, but He wants us to do it by being equipped with what He's given to us. He didn't give us this Word so that it can just be a nice thing to tuck up underneath our arm. He gave it to us because it's important. It's important to know. When each of the football players arrived for practice and they handed out the game books and the playbooks and everything that we're doing, I'm sure that the coach intended for them to read it. Not only read it, but to understand it. Not only to understand it, but probably memorize it. Not only memorize it, but to do it! He has the certain expectations, right? And I think God has similar desires for us, that we might add to our faith that virtue of wanting to do the right thing, but also add to that virtue the knowledge of being equipped to be able to do the right thing. Now let's look for some reasons for learning. First of all, in continuation on that, our relationship is complete, but our condition needs improvement. As I mentioned, our relationship with God cannot be improved. When He has said we are His child and we have eternal life with Him, we can't change that position. That has been given to us by grace. We have accepted by faith. And that element is not going to become any more complete than we are in Jesus Christ. But we may be complete in our relationship, but let me just tell you this. Our condition needs some improvement. When I placed my faith in Jesus Christ several years ago, I had some great desires to do the right thing. But I found myself regularly learning new things that didn't please God, and things that I needed to change in my life. And there were a need for improvement. Remember years ago, there was this little T-shirt that was for children that they could put on. And I saw it on a child, and it said, under construction, or please be patient with me, God isn't finished with me yet. And just giving us this idea that the process of growth is just that. That as soon as we place our faith in Christ, we might be complete in Him, and nothing needs to be done so we can have our promise of eternal life. But there's a lot of stuff that needs to be changed to help us become like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you today that first of all, if you're attempting to read the Word of God and attempting to do the right thing so that you can please God so He'll let you into heaven, you're on the wrong track. Because the Bible says we need to place our faith in Jesus Christ and believe in what He has done. However, if you have that faith, that you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ and you have your ticket to heaven, and that's all that matters, I want to wake you up to the fact that there's more to life than that. That God has an expectation that you add to your life a basis for learning so you can grow and change to be like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Second of all, time is not equal to maturity. Just because time takes place doesn't mean someone matures. Now that might be true in some elements. You can take some different items from your garden and through a certain period of time. Most of them will have gone through a certain amount of maturity without anything more than time taking place. But there's a process that is taking place in there. But there are some things that may be sitting out in a garden that may have sat out there for just as long as another item out there, but it's not ripe. It's not mature. Something has happened to keep it from maturing. And the same thing can be true in a gathering of individuals who desire to be disciples. There's individuals who can have a relationship with Christ for many, many years and not be progressing toward maturity. And yet on the flip side, there's individuals that may have a short history with Christ, that they may have just not too long ago placed their faith in Christ, but because of circumstances and because of the situations they put themselves in and their hunger for the Word, they have grown in wonderful at a wonderful pace, and as a result, they may be more mature spiritually than individuals who have claimed the name of Christ for many years beyond their years. So that it's important for us to understand that maturity is not just equal to time, but it does require learning. And learning isn't just the learning, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in detail in a few minutes, but it's not just the learning from what you see in the Scriptures on the page. It's what you see in the Scriptures through living it and applying it, etc. Thirdly, maturity is not changed behavior. Let me just explain. Maturity is not changed behavior. Maturity is a changed heart. There are some very immature people spiritually that can change their behavior to where it appears that they're mature, but maybe their heart isn't there. How can I picture this? For example, you can condition even your pet dog to accomplish certain things. Sometimes they will come, they will sit, and they're very obedient. You can take them through obedience school. Now, are you really changing their hearts? I don't believe so. I think that what is happening is they are developing a pattern in their life. They know if they do such and such, they'll get such and such reward. If they don't do such and such, they'll get such and such consequences. And as a result, they start patterning their lives a certain way. People do that the same. I have dealt with individuals who have grown up in Christian homes that have the standards all laid out for them. And they have learned to change their behaviors because they've known that if they follow the behavior pattern, there's good things come about it. And if they don't, there's bad things that come about it. And so, in a sense, even though they had not embraced those things for themselves, they have learned to fit in and learned to do the right things so that life is more smooth. And then they hit certain stage in their life where certain issues come, maybe storms or difficulties or persecutions or whatever it might be. And because the learning has never developed into the heart, they tend to fall away and start questioning these things and start worrying about the relationship with God and wondering about these various things. Because maturity is not changed behavior. Even immature individuals can change their behavior. I am an example of that. Before I even knew Christ as my personal Savior, I was able to change behavior because I wanted to please other individuals. I wanted to be able to fit in with this Christian crowd. So I started changing behavior even before a heart was changed. So that can happen without maturity taking place. Just like you may look at certain fruit, and maybe you've picked up some watermelon before, and it looks just like one you had before that was nice and mature from the outside. But when you got it home and you cut it open, you're going, "Ew. Well, we should have given that one a little bit more time." It may have looked mature from the outside, but the heart of it had not matured. That's why learning is essential to help us in this process of being a Christian, of maturity and becoming like Christ. Now let's look at the routine for learning. The routine starts out by requiring certain presupposition. A presupposition is something that you determine ahead of time before you go on to something else. In other words, you have to lay down a foundation. And here's the presuppositions that we have. First of all, we have the presupposition that there is a faith, a foundational faith that establishes our purpose, our hope, our motivation, our grid. To take the Scriptures and utilize them in our life, we have to have an assumption that there is a reason for that. And when we place our faith in Jesus Christ and believe that He is the author of all eternity, of all creation, and has provided us with this Word, and we have the faith, then we have the foundation. Those who want to jump into the Word of God without a relationship with God, without believing that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, can only look at the Word of God as a textbook and be able to glean just certain things that benefit them. But when they come to those things that are the harder sayings, those that are the radical things, they have to kind of just brush those off and say, "I just can't get this." Because their presupposition isn't embedded in this faith that there is a God and that He will reward me as I diligently seek to be like Him and to do things to please Him. And so that when I take the word of God, I need to have a solid faith in Jesus Christ and to know that He is my God and that what He has to say to me is important. Second of all, presupposition is that there is a valuable virtue, a direction, a leaning in my life that when I start reading the Word of God, I've got a purpose with this Word of God. That it's not about me. So many people think that the Bible is given to them so that they can develop their life so that their life can be better than somebody else's life. And they think, well, I found the secret to success in my life so my life can be better than someone else's or just be better than it is. Now, I want to share with you that if you follow things in the Word of God, the Bible does say you will have great success. But folks, quite frankly, the Word of God is not given to us so that we can be successful. The Word of God is given to us so that we can lean towards Him and seek His righteousness. And that as we do that, as Matthew tells us, is that we focus on Christ and His righteousness, then all the other issues will be taken care of. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That the reason I have the Bible is not so that it's for my purpose, but it's so that I can fulfill God's purpose. And when we have that faith foundational and the virtue of realizing why the Word of God is here, then as we get into the third element, the knowledge, we will know and be going in the right direction with it. Because if I do not believe this is God's Word to me to be used, it's going to mess up my usage of it. If I do not believe that it's God's Word for me to help me do what He wants me to do instead of just fulfill my own desires, I'm going to mess up with it. And I'm not going to be having the right prerequisites or presuppositions in regard to learning of the Word of God. The second thing that the routine requires is certain patterns. I'm going to talk about the patterns. We'll just go through these quickly because these are things that I'm sure you're familiar with. But I just want to remind us of these important patterns. First of all, the pattern involves the personal study. 2 Timothy 2:15 that we share with our Awana children. The importance of being diligent in the study of the Word of God so that we will not be ashamed. So that we can be a worker for God. And that's talking about that personal study of me taking the time of looking through the Word and determining from it on how it will help me to be sharpened to be more useful for Him. It would be no different than the football player sitting down with a playbook on his own time looking and evaluating. No different than the football player sitting down with a reel of the highlights or of the game that had been videoed and watching it over so they can learn so they can be sharper. And that is what God expects of us, that we might be diligent in the study of His Word, that we be doing our part in regard to it. Many years ago, I had a good relationship with a man who I had the opportunity to lead him to Christ and see his life change 180 degrees. And after about a year where he'd not missed any church services and had seemed to be like what I described earlier, one of those individuals who had grown leaps and bounds in 1 year's time and got involved with our different discipleship groups and all these various things. And I just pulled him aside one day and asked him, what of the various things we're doing at church has really helped you the most in your study? I mean, I was wondering if maybe it was the wonderful messages that I unfolded for him, or maybe it was the interactive Bible studies that we had, or the accountability discipleship course we had, or maybe just the one-on-one times that I spent together with him. And I just wondered, which of these different things, so I'll know which tools to carry in my toolbox as I'm working with individuals so I could have a similar result. And he thought about it for a second. He said, well, I got to say, the thing that probably helped me the most is my own private time of reading the Scriptures. Without having to say it, but in parentheses, that really doesn't involve you. I think God put that in as a parenthesis for me. But I at first I'm thinking, whoa, where do I fit in this equation? And then I thought, this is great. This is the most exciting thing. What parent isn't excited when their child learns to start taking care of themselves? What parent is excited when their kid starts deciding to eat on their own? Except for when they start raiding the refrigerator and everything. But they get excited about the fact that they're taking on certain responsibilities and they're growing from it. And I thought, that's the key. If people will take the Word of God and they start developing things on their own in their own personal study, and even if it doesn't entail me, that is a sign of someone who's developed the right routine for learning. Another area, Romans 10:14, where it is said that how are they going to hear in relationship to the gospel unless there be some who sent to be preachers? We know that the preaching of the Word is important for people to hear because of, and in some cases they will not hear the Word unless it is preached. And as a reciprocation of that, there are times, and you folks have reinforced that by being here today, of sitting under the preaching of the Word, reinforced the importance of being here. Now, there's a couple steps to being here. There's one, getting here, and then there's staying here, not leaving. And then there's staying awake while you're here. And then there's listening while you're staying awake. And then there's putting to practice what I'm talking about and what God's Word says. And then there's rehearsing it in your life. I mean, there's a lot of stages to it. That's involved, but it starts out with listening to the Word of God and allow it to penetrate and being there to listen to it. I've got to say, as far as my testimony, one of the things that was so important to my initial growth was, one, be encouraged to read through the Bible on my own and spend time in the Word by myself and to start learning things. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of things I didn't understand, a lot of things I spaced off as I read through it, a lot of things that just really didn't stick. But that and being where the Word of God was being taught, those things made a huge difference in my life. To where I went from knowing absolutely nothing about God or what His plans were to being caught up in a sense with a lot of my peers and understanding what God was about and what life was about under God. And it's the hearing of the Word and getting ourselves in places where we hear. Thirdly, Joshua 1:8 tells us that we can meditate on the Word. That meditation is thinking about something, allowing it to mull through and go through a process of using it in various ways and applying it to our lives. To where it's not just, you know, when I think of meditating on the Word, I think of taking ownership with it. In other words, it's one thing for me just to spout forth some words about God's Word. It's another thing when it hits the heads out there, and it does something there. Okay, in some cases it'll go in there, and I don't know what happens to it after it goes in there, but it goes in there. Okay, and in other cases it may be going in there and it hits on something else, and what is said is it hits a button, and the button activates a brain cell that says, ooh, this reminds me of, and then they start doing it. And quite frankly, sometimes you end up daydreaming as you're thinking about other applications of the Scripture, and that's kind of like meditating in this sense. When you're doing it in your private study is when you're reading through what the author might be saying, and all of a sudden you say, oh, this sounds just like what I heard in the message, or what was talked about over here, or what I read the other day, and you start putting them together. Or we say, oh, well, this means such and such. So that last week, when I was in such and such situation, if I would have behaved this way instead of the way I did, it would have been pleasing to God. That's called meditating on the Word of God. The fourth item is obeying the Word of God. James 1:22, a very common passage for many, but one that we need to be reminded of. It's not just being a hearer of the Word, but being a doer of it also. Of being willing to hear and read and study it, but also be able to respond to it and be actively involved with obeying what God says. And then the final one, not the final thing you can do with it, but this is some routines, is getting involved with understanding the Word of God well enough to where you're able to teach it. I know some individuals that have done a lot of their growing when they were given an assignment to teach even a child's class. And they were told, now here's what you're going to do. And this happened to me too. I was in Bible college, and have been sitting under these great professors who are just running through the scriptures at warp speed, and I'm like, whoa, trying to keep up with everything that they're teaching and such like that. And then I'm given an assignment to work in a small club with children. They give me a lesson that I'm supposed to teach these kids, and I'm going, whoa. Now, I've read through the Bible a couple times. I don't remember this lesson. And I go and I look, yeah, sure enough, it's in the Bible. I didn't make it up. And I go, wow, okay, and the more I studied it and the more I worked through it, and by the time I taught it to the children, I knew that thing pretty well. And that the key thing is that before you teach something, you should know it. And that if we take on the role of teaching, and that's why it's so important for parents to be involved with the Word of God so they can teach their children the Word of God so they can carry on the thing of God's Word. But teaching the Word is another routine that we need to be involved with. Well, I want to spend the bulk of our rest of our time on the third thing, because this is the thing that gets in the way. This is what, because a lot of you are probably saying, well, you know what you have to say is really neat, but... Well, let's look at the resistance to learning. I just picked out three of maybe the various things. I'm just going to share some things. I'm going to use some words that maybe you would not choose. I'm going to use some words that maybe that will not be as comfortable for you, and you may not like the words I chose, but I chose them anyways. So you can like them or dislike them, but maybe you'll get the point one way or the other. But I chose three words to put in there. First one is that of laziness. None of us like the word laziness. Laziness usually applies to someone else. We never really like to think of ourselves as being lazy. And we never like to think of ourselves as being lazy when it comes to being a Christian. But you know, quite frankly, there's times when we're just downright lazy. Where that we need to be working at putting these things into our lives. Especially those of us who are adults, we might be able to encourage our children to go and knock out all these different verses and things in regard to the Awana, and they get this section done at that section. When it comes down to us doing it, well, it's a, you know, that's for kids, you know, type of thing. And quite frankly, we don't have an interest of putting forth the work. Hebrews chapter 5, if you want to look at that, and you're in Peter's, you just go a couple pages back. Hebrews chapter 5, talking about the importance of the Word of God. We have kind of a confrontation here. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, their maturity should have taken place, you should be passing this information on, you should be prepared to help others that are seeking," says, "but you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God." You know, we got to go over the same basic things. Now this could be, you're taking someone who's should know better, and he should be at the point where he's mentoring somebody else, and he's saying, man, you just haven't gotten it. You have not applied yourself to learn that. Now we're going to have to go back to plan A, starting right at the very beginning. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. You've got to go back through the whole process of going through the beginning steps. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Basically, there are times when we get to the point where we say, it's just too hard to do all this studying and stuff. It's just too hard to do this, and I just really don't want to. It's harder for me. I have a short attention span, whatever the reason might be, that it's just difficult for me. But you know, there's something that goes along with that. And I realize there's different ones of us that have different things. Some of us are ones who, boy, we are tactical. We just love hands-on type things. We just learn so great that way. You know, give us something, we'll tear it apart, put it back together, things like that. That's not me, by the way. But some individuals are able to do that, and they just have hands-on, and they learn so much, it's like they learn through their fingertips. Then there's others that you can put words before them, you can put stuff before them, they don't get it, but if you talk about it verbally, they get it all down. Boy, they just hear everything they hear. They don't want to read a book, they don't want to spend time reading a book, but you give them something that's audio, they'll sit and listen to the whole thing and be able to repeat the majority of it back to you, because that's the way they learn. And there's others that, you talk to them, they try to listen to something, boy, they can't get it. I mean, just give it to me, I want to see it for myself. You know, I don't know if they're all from Missouri or what, but they got to see it themselves. They don't want to hear it from anybody else. They got to read it. They got to go word by word, line upon line. They got to work through it, or else they're not going to get it. And then there's others that they got to take little bits and pieces at a time. There's others who like to spend long periods of time, and they can all of a sudden look up and say, "Oh, 5 hours have gone by. I didn't realize that." And there's other people that are like, 5 minutes? Oh, man. Seem like 5 hours. You know, different ones of us have different ways. And the point is, God hasn't called us all to be one way in regard to our learning, because He's made us different ways. The point is, what are we doing to compensate for the differences that we have? If we're not one who gets a lot out of the reading, we should still be doing some reading, but we ought to be taking the time to get some cassette tapes and taking time to listen to more things that have the scriptures on it. And maybe we need to be doing things that are more hands-on, getting involved with accountability group that's going to cause me to interact with others. Maybe question and answer is the way I learn. We need to find out what it is, and we need to be doing it. We can't just use the excuse of, "Well, I tried sitting down and reading my Bible, and I can only read it for 10 minutes, and then I go to sleep." That may be true. But folks, if that's true, you can't just sit and say, "Well, God's made me that way, so I can't study the Bible." There's all sorts of other ways you can study the Bible. You just have to have the determination and the intuition to want to do it. And we've got to be stubborn at it. Have you ever been working on a project and you don't have the right tool? What do? You say, "I can't do the project." No, you go out and get the tool. And you get done what needs to be done. We've been working on grapes. Someone allowed us to pick some grapes. We have a bunch of grapes all over our kitchen. They've been cooking and cooking and cooking. And up until midnight last night, they were cooking. And if I shake a few more hands, I might get rid of the rest of the glue on my fingers. But working with those grapes, getting through a certain process, my wife was gone. Where'd she go? She went to Walmart. Why'd she go to Walmart? Because she didn't have the proper thing to help strain through all the grapes to get rid of some of the stuff. Did she stop her project because she didn't have the right thing to strain it through and just say, "Oh my, I guess we'll just have to have grape jelly with the big lumps in it"? She used determination to say, "I don't have, let's go find out what I can have, let's go get it and do it." And that's just applied to all areas of our growth with God, is that we just don't sit down and say, "Well, I just kind of had enough, and it's hard, and I just want..." You find another way to learn. You find another way to learn, and you just keep on going because you need to get that information from God. It's important. It's an imperative. Either if it requires you to find another believer and just sit down and ask them questions and interact that way, do it. If it requires you to get a picture Bible and sit down and watch and look at the pictures and get the things out of that, do it. If it requires you to get kids' videos and watch kids' videos, watch kids' videos! I've learned a lot through watching kids' videos. There's some benefits of having children that are watching their things going, "Oh, I didn't realize, is that really in the Bible?" Well, it sure is, yeah. Use the different things. Folks, we are in a day and age where we have so many things at our disposal, and if we don't take advantage of it, God will call it laziness. God will say, "You are a bad servant." It's like the one who hid the talents and didn't want to do anything with it. Don't use your learning style as an excuse not to get involved with learning with God. Because there's so many different ways to learn and so many different ways to just enjoy His Word. The second thing I say is just basically pride. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, "I have not arrived." I don't consider myself to have arrived. Unfortunately, there's individuals who have been studying the Word of God and have been reading the Word of God and have gone to Bible college or been through enough Sunday school classes or have read enough books that they've gotten to the point where they just tend to think, well, there's just nothing else for me to learn, so there is no sense in me spending time learning. And so they get bored with the Word of God and they say, "It's just not for me. I've had too much and it's not necessary for me to learn. There's nothing new for me, nothing new for me to change." And I encourage you, the Apostle Paul probably had the most intense relationship with God, probably had the most thorough background in all the Old Testament scriptures, probably had the most intimate understanding of God's plan in that God used him to pen many of the books of the New Testament. But he says, "I have not arrived." He was still hungry to learn more about God, hungry to put the Word of God more into his life. That's something we need to avoid. We need to avoid this prideful attitude that we're sitting and saying, "Well, I'll be surprised if I learn anything from blank." It's amazing what God can teach us if we're willing to have our hearts open and willing to study, willing to listen, willing to use the various venues that God has for us. We need to avoid that resistance of pride of saying, I am too far along to learn anything from this individual or this source. You'll be surprised how God will teach you if you humble yourself and open yourself up. One of the drawbacks is when we do have pride, the reason we don't learn is not because we know too much, but because when pride comes into our heart shuts down and we're not very receptive. One of the things that I noticed when we were working on the grapes last night is that we had different ways that we could transfer the grapes from one place to another. Now, when we did that without much of a grid, everything went from one container to the other. And it just flopped like... So transfer was easy. Transfer was fast. Transfer accomplished absolutely nothing. Because we ended up with the same thing we started out with a mixture of grapes and grape juice and whatever. But what we found out is when we started straining it, we used a variety of different things to strain, that depending upon the coarseness of the thing that was there, the more things that we were able to gather. And can I encourage you with this, that the study of the Word of God, and this kind of goes to this last point as well, and I forgot to bring it in at that point. But if you're sitting and maybe what the pastor is saying isn't making much sense, and maybe what you're reading in the Bible isn't making much sense, can I encourage you that all you need to do is just be patient and have an attitude of wanting to learn and, in a sense, start developing some grids that can start developing so that when things come through, they'll stick. If we just keep it open like a big one bowl to another bowl, yeah, it comes in fast, goes out fast, accomplishes very little, but leaves a stain. That's about it. But if you have something that starts filtering, and a lot of that, what develops that is other knowledge of certain things. So you just start leaving pieces. One of the things that I did as a young person, I just started highlighting and underlining things in my Bible as people were speaking, as I was reading. And it was amazing when I came up across them again. Ah. That little grid got there, and when it came through, it didn't just go whoosh. It's some stuff stuck. And the more stuff that sticks, and we found this with the grapes, the more that stuck in that cheesecloth, the more stuck. And the more that stuck, the more that stuck. And I want to encourage you that whether you're at the beginning stages of your relationship with God or have been down the road a little bit, use that which is stuck to stick more. That makes sense. Use your previous learning to glean more, because there's always that more. Our goal, ironically, was to try to get all this stuff that we ended up throwing away. Okay? But we didn't care about whether the juice went through fast. What we cared about was what we got when the juice went through. Now, it's a little bit of reverse illustration, but the point is, we shouldn't be so concerned about what goes through our head. We should be concerned about what sticks. What is sticking there? What is being gleaned out of what is going through? Because if it just goes through, if it goes from me to you, and it's in the same condition as it was with me, after it's done with you, then it's just like one from one container to the other. Well, what needs to happen is things need to stick. The third item, and we just take a few minutes on this because this can get in the way of our wanting things to stick, because we tend to remove the grids. We tend to not want to learn anything about God because, quite frankly, we're more interested in learning things about the world. We have more of an agenda about pleasing the world. We have more of an agenda about getting what the world has to offer than what we have to get God's offering. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 basically talks about the difference between spirituality and carnality. Carnal just basically means flesh. Carnival has the same root word. It's a fleshly activity. Now, this is the whole purpose of a carnival is to appeal to your flesh. Everything that's set up in there is for that purpose. Carnal just means that. It's fleshly. Things that are designed for our feelings, designed for us. And he says when we are in that mode, we don't tend to understand what the Word of God says because they're spiritually discerned. Now, I know that specifically this is talking about those who have placed their faith in Christ and those who have not. And how that when we place our faith in Christ, with the Holy Spirit's help, we are able to understand the Scriptures in ways. And I've talked with individuals that was just that way. That they tried to read the Bible, tried to reason the Bible, tried to apply the Bible, didn't make any sense. They placed their faith in Christ, and it was like a whole new grid was laid over them, and that thing started sticking. Okay, it started making sense. But I know the same thing can be true reverse-wise. An individual who may have had some things sticking because they're grieving the Holy Spirit with sin in their life, and because they're desiring to do their own thing, because they're leaning on their own understanding, and because they're not interested in the things of God, the grids have been torn. The cheesecloth has a hole in it. The strainer has been removed. However you want to look at it, as a result, it goes in one ear and out the other, instead of impacting the heart and sticking so that things can happen. When sin gets in our life, it's very easy for us to not be responsive to the Word of God. Our yearning for learning. First of all, do you have the faith? Do you have the faith? Have you placed your faith in Christ? Do you have the right basis? Second of all, do you have the intent? Is it your intention to take the Word of God? And this is a serious question, folks. Is it your intent that the Word of God be the directive for your life? Or is it just, well, our church talks about it, and it's okay? Folks, there are many churches out in our community and around the world that this is just a token. It might be referred to, but many times it's just ignored. It is not understood as being the thing that will impact your life for change. Unfortunately, even in churches like our own, where we are determined that the Word of God always have preeminence and the Word of God always be considered the authority of God, there are still individuals that still want to live their life not based upon what the Word of God says, but based upon what their feelings are and based upon what they want. And that's why it's incredibly important that we have the right intent to please God by using His Word. And thirdly, do you have the intake? I know you're here this morning, and praise the Lord for it. I'm glad that you're here and that you're hearing and intaking it. But can I encourage you that there's other avenues, other venues, encouraging you to tighten the grid a bit so that things stick a little better. Get to a place where you're able to meditate on things, allowing it to work more into your life. Father, we thank You for the time You've given to us. I know Your Word is strong, and that Your Word has a way of just penetrating our hearts. And I ask, Lord, that You'll take what You said today, and that You'll help us to, whether we like the words chosen or not, find areas where we may need to change, and that we might see why Your Word is not the priority it should be in our life, why learning about You is not the priority of our life. Father, for those folks that might be here, that it is their priority, and they feast upon Your Word on a regular basis. Father, I pray that their lives may totally be blessed, and that they'll totally be able to share it with others and be a source of encouragement. But for those that maybe are here this morning and they're just wrestling with what has been said, as they look at their heart and look at their patterns and realize that there's just a void there that needs to be filled, that the grid has not been established, that things are just slipping through, and that the great, wonderful pulp of Your Word is being missed. And Father, I just ask that You will work in their hearts and help them to make some decisions, even today, to change that pattern in their life. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I encourage you to stand if you would.